I'm Colin Gray, and this is the Mountain Bikes Park podcast, where this time around, we're talking about building your very own bike. Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Mountain Bikes Park podcast. A very quick apology, I'm not going to labour it, but I know it's been a little while since the last episode, about a month or so. Been a busy time, and actually I've not managed to get much biking in, so that's the worst part of it all. But I'll try and get back on track, try to do one every couple of weeks. But I've really appreciated the feedback people have been sending in. I've had quite a few comments and emails and stuff like that in from people who listen to the podcast. It really does mean a lot to know that folk are listening and enjoying the show. I really encourage you to get that stuff in. That's kind of what prompted me to get back in the saddle tonight, record another episode, particularly a comment from Josh Street, or Tree Boy to his mates, who sent me an email just earlier on today, and he had a bunch of suggestions for upcoming topics in there, but one of them particularly was around how to upgrade your bike, so what the best things you can do to upgrade your bike, and that kind of prompted me into thinking about what I'm working on just now with my own bike, which is actually a bike build, and it's something that I've written a lot about on the website before. So some of the most popular articles on the Mountain Bikes Park website are around bike building, how to create your own bike, how to start from scratch, put together all the bits and create yourself your own dream steed. And it's all kind of, it's related to that upgrading question as well. So it's kind of there's a sequence, I think, you go through, a kind of life cycle that you go through as a mountain biker that can take you towards building your own bike. So I thought that's what I'd talk about today, particularly because that's kind of what I'm starting on right now, which is a new bike build. So we'll talk about that just in a moment. Just before we start that though, standard stuff, again, thanks for any feedback. I'd love to get your feedback, so please do get over to mountainbikespark.com and find this episode, which you'll find at mountainbikespark.com/15, and that'll take you to this episode page where you can drop a comment in the notes and just let me know what you think. Tell me what you think. I'll put a question on the end of the episode so you can actually give me an answer to something, but even if it's something else, suggest new topics, that type of thing, that'd be great to get your feedback. Let me know what you think, let me know what you want more of on the show, and as always as well, if you want to pop over to iTunes and give us a review, pop a review onto iTunes. It always helps people get more listeners onto the show and get more feedback, more great topics. So yeah, it really does help me and yourselves as well, so I would appreciate that. But yeah, let's get on to the topic for today. So bike building. I suppose what I want to go through today is just what it takes to get to the stage of building your own bike. I've talked to quite a lot of people over the years about the process, about how to get on to building your own bike, what it requires, the different skills, the different tools, all that kind of stuff. And I suppose the main thing that always comes up is the fact that the very first bike that I built, I've not built that many by any means, but the first one that I built, I kind of just did it because, well, partly because I couldn't afford to buy myself the dream bike that I wanted, partly because I just wanted to try it. I just kind of wanted to jump in and have a go, thinking that it can't be that hard, or even if it is, I'm sure I could learn how to. So what I would say is, just to start off, it can be intimidating. A lot of people seem to think that it is a really tricky thing to do. It's a really hard thing to do. But actually, once you get down to it, there's plenty of tutorials out there. You've probably got a local bike shop that'll be able to help you out a little bit. So actually, it's not that hard a thing to get involved in. And I can tell you, and I'll go over it a bit more later in the episode as well, how rewarding it is, what a difference it makes to your biking when you've got this bike that you've built yourself. So now that's out of the way, how do you start? I think while I say that I just jumped in, I think probably how I started with bike building was in, essentially, I got into mountain biking when I was a lowly student, not going to be earning much money, not much cash in the bank. and I had a pretty crappy bike to start out with, just spent a few hundred pounds on a secondhand mountain bike, but obviously got to love the sport, wanted to upgrade a bit, wanted to get a better bike, but I couldn't afford a brand new one, so I couldn't afford the 1,000, 1,500, to even more than that, to buy myself these bikes that I was reading about in the magazines. So I started looking around on eBay. I've over the years, if you read the Mountain Bikes Part website, you'll know that I do a lot of secondhand bike buying. So I rarely buy brand new whole bikes. So I started looking around on eBay for bikes. And while you can get some good bikes on eBay, I have to admit, I've got some good bikes over the years. Usually what I found, having bought one or two in the early days, was that when you buy a secondhand bike, generally, most of it will be fine, but there's always a couple of components at least that have worn out. So people sell on their secondhand bikes generally after they've used them a fair bit. They've worn them out a little bit. Maybe there's been a few niggles start to annoy them. And even if people are honest about it, even if they say, you know, derailleur's getting a bit loose, this needs replaced, that needs replaced, you know that. But you need to be able to replace that yourself. And again, not having the funds to really do it myself, to send it to a bike shop, I realised I had to do this myself. So that's what kind of took me into learning a little bit more about the mechanics of a bike. And the best thing I discovered really when I started looking into that was the fact that it was all pretty easy, to be honest. I mean, bikes aren't really complicated bits of kit. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's difficult, what's easy, that kind of stuff later on. But when you get down to it, pretty much 90% of bike maintenance is actually pretty simple. You can do it with even just a set of hex keys, a set of Allen keys, maybe a screwdriver or two, or a hammer for when things get a bit tricky. But most of it is actually pretty easy. So you can do a lot of it just yourself without bothering with a mechanic. I think I'll have to do an episode in future around the common maintenance tasks and the type of stuff you can do yourself, because it's probably something that's worth talking about. But just want to cover just now the fact that that was kind of what led me into bike build. It was kind of working up through the ranks. It was starting out by replacing a chain, moving up to replacing maybe the gear cables, up to actually replacing some parts, so maybe putting on a new fork or could put on a better derailleur, that type of thing, putting on a new set of brakes. So it was kind of working up and realizing that all these things, I was upgrading my bike, and all these things actually would allow me to create my own bike from scratch because I knew how to replace all these parts from then. So the thing that really prompted me to start doing it was the fact that I wanted, well, you know, you read the magazines, you read the websites, you see all these dream bikes out there, these things that cost you $3,000, $4,000, and there was no way I was affording that at the time. I still can't really afford that. I mean, it's ridiculous money to spend on a bit of kit. I mean, I the bikes I had in the early days were worth far more than my car, which is a bit ridiculous. But looking around on eBay, you can buy frames, really good frames, for not that much money. And this is what I always tell people, the fact that you can go out there and you can buy yourself a new bike frame, and it'll cost you maybe £1,500, £2,000 for a really good new bike frame. But if you go on eBay, 2 or 3 years down the line, those bike frames, secondhand, tend to be a fraction of the cost. So to get into the nitty-gritty of it, first bike build I ever did was an enduro. So I was into, I'd started out on Specialized bikes, got myself a Rockhopper. So I liked the brand, and I'd looked at the enduros. And you know, if you know the Specialized brand, you know that they do S-Works. That's their kind of top of the range, sort of super uber bikes that are really nicely made, really good quality materials, really light, that kind of stuff. And I had my eye on the Enduro S-Works frame, essentially because it was a bit of an all-mountain bike. I was moving up from a pure cross-country bike. It was going to be my first full sus, because I didn't really want to jump in and buy a lower-end full sus. I thought that when I get my full sus, I wanted it to be top-end. And I knew I couldn't buy an S-Works Enduro out of the shop, because the damn things cost about $4,000, I think. And I'm talking pounds here for anyone that's listening in the US, probably talking about $7,000 or $8,000. So the only way to do this was to buy an older model, and to get it secondhand. And I'd managed to track down S-Works Enduro frame for about £450, I think it was. And it was only 3 or 4 years old. It was the old monocoque frame, so it was the one that looks like, when it came through in the post, it was just the frame on its own. It looks like an alien gun of some sort. Like, you can hold it up and pretend you're shooting lasers out of it. It's just a bit of a ridiculous shape. But it looks really cool to me, actually, and I really liked it. And I managed to track one of these down for £450. So, I mean, that's about a third of what that would have been brand new. So I got hold of this frame, and that's when the bike build started. At that point, there was tons of stuff I just had no idea about. So I want to just go through the bits that I found were the kind of easy bits, the hard bits, the tricky bits, that type of stuff. So the tricky bits, let's start with the hard bits. The bits I had to take it to the shop, because they're generally the ones you actually have to start with. So when you're building a bike, you get your frame. You maybe go out and buy all the bits, whether you're getting that secondhand or brand new. I've gone to that in a little while as well. But the first steps are two points of contact with the bike, which are the headset and the bottom bracket. So they're kind of where you have to start. Headset, because before you can put on the fork, the handlebars, the stem, the brakes, the gears, all that kind of stuff, before you can do any of that, you have to be able to put your fork into the frame, and that has to go through the headset. So that's the first part of the front end of the bike. Now, the headset is the only part of a bike build that I've never done myself. And that is essentially just because I do not own a headset press. So I don't have a headset press. They're expensive as a kit to buy. And basically it's one of the most, well, I'm not going to say most common or easy, but it's one of the places where you can really mess up your bike. If you just go and try and do a homemade headset press, hammer the thing in, you can actually completely screw up your frame just by putting it in a little bit of squint, maybe slightly offline the front of your bike. And if they're not in straight, then it does have a big effect on your ride. So you really need to get that headset in straight, not damage the frame when you're doing it, have them level with each other, the top and the bottom of the headset. So that's the one bit that I've not done myself. I'm sure that if I invested £100 into buying a headset press, I could do it myself. But to be honest, my bike shop charges me £20 to do it. And it means that I don't have to have a headset press in the house, not taking up a bit of space. And they do it in no time at all. So I take my bike down, get the headset fed. And that's the one bit that I get the bike shop to do. There's also the simple fact, actually, that headsets are damn complicated. I've got an article on Mountain Bikes Apart that shows how a headset goes together. Some of them actually come to bits into like 8 or 9 different parts, and you have to get them all in the right order when you're putting them back into the bike. So it's not the easiest. I mean, I'm sure it's, well, you can figure it out if you're a bit more sort of into the building once you're a bit further down the line in terms of skills. But I would say definitely if you're going in a first bike build, do not be ashamed at having to get somebody else to fit your headset. Next up, in terms of skill, or even more just knowledge, I guess, is the bottom bracket. Now, I say that because some bottom brackets are actually really simple. So if you've got, say, the Shimano Holotech bottom brackets, they're actually quite easy to fit, because all they really are two ends. You screw it straight into the frame. You've got one end that has what would you call maybe an insert that goes right through the bottom bracket section of the bike frame, and the other end of the bottom bracket is just actually a screw in that meets that. And then essentially when you have the Holotech chain set, that is just all you have is off the gear side of the cranks, you just have an axle that goes straight through the bottom bracket and meets the other side. You get another crank, the left crank that screws onto that. So actually there's no contact really, there's not even any bearings or anything like that. It's really just a tube through which this axle goes and within which it turns. And all you have to do is grease it. So all you have to do is have the tool, which is a little bit of a strange little spanner. It's a spanner that, what do you say, it's quite a large diameter. It's got little kind of ribs on it that sticks into the sort of clock shape, I guess. So the bottom bracket has indents, which are just like a clock. I'm not sure how many of them are, but you can imagine there'd be one on each hour, and the spanner fits into these little grooves and turns it around. So actually that type of bottom bracket is actually very easy to fit, very easy to put the chainset into. But there are numerous other types of bottom brackets. Not so much these days. They're a bit more easy and standard these days. But if you have an older bike, an older chainset, you get some very strange bottom brackets. So they can be tricky. So if you're upgrading an old bike or using older components, then that can be something you might need a bit of help with from the bike shop. But again, a newer kit, if you're buying new stuff, you'll have no worries with it. I would say to me, next on the list of complication is the gear system. So setting up your gears, and I know some people that still really struggle, even though they know a lot about bikes, they still will take their bike to the bike shop just to get their gears adjusted, because it's a bit of a black art to some people. So when you're actually setting up the gear system in the first place, if you actually have to do all of that yourself, then that can be a pain. I mean, most of it's actually pretty easy. You get the shifters on the handlebars, you get the cables in them. If you're buying brand new shifters, cables tend to be fitted. They'll come just in a roll. You roll it along, you put it through the protectors, route it around the bike. I mean, every bike has a slightly different routing system, and you get it down to the derailleur. And the trickiest bit usually is holding the derailleur in place while you fit the cable into it. So derailleurs always have a bit of tension in them, obviously, especially the rear ones. So you have to actually pull the cable through the derailleur attachment, the screw that you put the cable into the derailleur, so that it's in about the around the right place or around the right tension. And then you do a lot of adjustment from there to make sure it's in exactly the right place, so that, you know, gear one in the shifter equates to gear one on the back. So gears can be quite complicated, but do you know what? They're not bad at all, actually. Once you just fiddle about with them, it might take you a couple of hours to set them up the very first time, but actually they become quite intuitive once you've played around with them a fair bit. So don't be afraid to just have a go, play around with them. And if you you really do struggle, you can always take it back to the bike shop to get a bit of some help. But no, give it a go and see how you go with that. Now from there, I think most of it's pretty plain sailing. I mean, up the front, you've got the fork. So you put the stem on the fork, and that's what holds the fork in place. Fork goes through the headset. Nothing too complicated about that. You have to put the crown race onto the fork, which can be a bit of a pain if you've not got the right tool for it, but can be done. You can get the bike shop to do that, though. Again, I'm not going to go into complete details about how you do this. We're just going to go through a kind of summary of the little bits that you have to do. But yeah, you put the stem onto the fork, that holds it in. Then from there, you've got the handlebar. Handlebar goes onto the stem reasonably easy, just, you know, Allen keys to tighten that on. And then you've got your shifters, as we've talked about, and brakes. So the brakes, depending on what type of brakes you've got, if you're going for V brakes or any other kind of cable brakes, then you do have some of the same troubles that you have with the gears, as in it can take a little bit of adjustment getting the routing the cables around, all that kind of stuff. They're a lot simpler than gears, actually, because you don't have the same kind of adjustment, the same kind of fine adjustment required. If you have hydraulic brakes, so if you've got disc brakes, they're actually, they look intimidating, but generally if you buy a set of hydraulic brakes, they come fully what do you call it, oiled up, fully watered up, whatever the hell goes in there. So they're all as an enclosed system. You just place the brakes on the handlebars, route the cable around the bike, and screw on the caliper at the back and the front. You've got a little bit of adjustment in terms of where the caliper sits, but the best tip I ever got there was put the caliper onto the bike, keep it loosely screwed, and then hold the brake tight so that the caliper bites onto the disc, and that centers it on the disc, and then you screw the caliper tight from there. So actually holding the brake on the disc actually helps you to center that caliper. That was the best tip I ever had about disc brakes. That tend to make it a lot easier in terms of adjustment. Now where else do we go from here? So we've got the grips on as well. You're sticking on the grips, that's no worries. So that's pretty much the front handled. Going up to the back, I mean, there's nothing complicated about a seat post. adding your saddle to the seat post, not bad at all, just a set of Allen keys to put the saddle on. Going further back, your rear derailleur, that easy enough to, it's just one screw, will attach it into the derailleur mount. And from there, then you've got the chain set, so the drive chain. Now, I've talked a little bit about putting the chain set into the bottom bracket, so that's not complicated in the newer stuff. Like if you're using Shimano Holotech, no worries at all. Putting the pedal onto the cranks, no worries at all either. Pedal spanner helps a lot with that, but you can use a normal spanner. I would recommend investing 10-15 quid in a pedal spanner, though it does save a lot of hassle and a lot of skint knuckles, so that's well worth it. Putting on a chain, now you should always know how to change a chain. I mean, that's one of the first things you're going to learn if you're going to start maintaining your own bike. And I'd definitely recommend taking the shortcut of having the SRAM power links. It saves you having to worry about using your chain splitter to stick through a new chain link every single time. If you've got the power links, it makes it so much easier to take a chain on and off. So definitely recommend having a look into one of those power links. And basically that's us. That's all you need. The wheels, I guess. I never mentioned the wheels, but putting on and off wheels is pretty standard for even if you don't maintain your bike, you're going to have to take them off to get them in the car or whatever. So I won't even mention the wheels. But that's essentially it. That was just a quick run through of the bits in terms of how easy, how difficult they are for building your bike. Now, I was going to talk a little bit about the tools. And I've mentioned a few tools along that path just then. So you've already heard about a few, like the pedal spanner I talked about, the bottom bracket tool I talked about. I would recommend if you're going to build a bike to get yourself a good set of Allen keys. So you can just go to B&Q and don't get bike specific ones. I wouldn't worry about that. You get some bike tool kits that come with these weird kind of three end triangle shaped hex keys, which have three different hex keys all attached in a kind of star shape, and they're a bit pointless. They get in the way, they don't really work very well. What you need is just a total basic, good quality set of Allen keys that you just get from B&Q. You get all the sizes for like 5 quid, cost next to nothing. Nice and long, nice and solid, and that's all you need. They're not going to strip half as easy either. Well worth getting them. On top of that, it's well worth buying a decent chain splitter too, if you're going to be doing that very often. You won't be taking that out in the trail with you, but it's good to have a good one at home. And to be honest, for your basic kit, that is about all you need. There's, it's just occurred to me, you've got a chain whip, which I didn't mention on the wheel, so attaching your rear cogs to the rear wheel. Now that's something that can be a little bit tricky. You need a specialist tool called a chain whip. But to be honest, that's something that might pop down to the bike shop to do as well, just because you'll tend to be buying, these special one-off tools like a chain whip. There's only one thing you can use it for. There's only like once every year or 2 years you're going to be using it. Sometimes I don't think it's worth paying the money to buy a tool like that. But it depends how often you're going to be changing that, so it depends how often you ride, how often you're gonna have to change the rear cog on your bike, and also just how much you get it for as well, I guess. So that's completely up to yourself, but I would say that's the basic tools that you need. So what next? What about the reason why you would build it yourself in the first place? I've already mentioned cost, but the other thing I wanted to mention was something that has been a bit of a driver for me now taking on the project I'm doing now, actually. And that is the idea of attachment to your bike. So I have been riding, I sold my Enduro, which was the first bike build, only about 2 years ago. And it was because it was getting a bit old, it was getting a bit worn out. I didn't really see that much of a future. Well, I didn't see it being that much more life in it. The frame would have lasted for years longer, obviously, but it would have entailed a complete strip down, change all the components. And to be honest, I just kind of fancied a bit of a change. I ended up getting a super light, a Santa Cruz super light, which I'd fancied for a while. I wanted something a bit lighter than the Enduro, although the S-Works Enduro is very light anyway, but I just quite fancied the super light just for a bit more cross-country riding. And do you know what I found? I found with that bike, I just didn't really care very much about it. I bought it fully made. I bought it as a whole. I didn't add anything to it. I didn't upgrade it. I essentially didn't care half as much about it. I didn't put as much love and care and attention into it, keeping it nice, cleaning it when I got home, upgrading stuff, making sure that this or that was right, like, you know, adjusting the gears. All of the stuff that I would do with the Enduro, all of the stuff that I would do to make sure that the bike was in tip-top condition so that every ride I went out on was great, I just didn't do with that one because, I don't know, it just seemed like it wasn't really mine. It was just this bike that I'd got. And I'm not sure if anyone else gets this or whether it's just, if it's only if you have built a bike in the past. There's just this sense of attachment, ownership you get over a bike when you've built it yourself. You've put so much more effort into it, I guess. You've put so much more care into the types of components that you're using, the way you've put together all that kind of stuff. It's just something about it. You've got this attachment to it that you just care for it more. And it translates into going out as well. I mean, I know a lot of people out there just, you've got no trouble with motivating yourself to get out on the bike. But these days, I mean, I've got a 2-year-old son now, plenty of stuff to do, very busy work, all that kind of thing. Sometimes, as much as I love mountain biking, I can be tired, want to spend time with my wee boy, and it needs a bit more motivation to get me out and actually go and hit the trails. Obviously, I love it when I get there, but it's that kind of kick in the pants before I get out. And for some reason, I wasn't getting that same motivation when I was just riding the Santa Cruz. Whereas with the old Enduro, I would actually look forward to going out riding just because, partly because of the bike I was riding. So I'm kind of, that is part of the reason why, well, I think that is the big thing for me right now, why I decided I wanted to try a new bike build. And that was to try and get me motivated again into get out more often, get out on the trails as much as I possibly can. And that's what I'm hoping to get a bit more out of when I finish the build I'm working on right now. So I don't know if that makes any sense to anyone else, but I just thought I'd have a wee chat about that because it is something that affects me when I'm thinking about building a bike. That's one of my big drivers in it. It's not just the cost. It's not just the fact that I can do it a bit cheaper. It's that kind of attachment I get to the bike as well. Now on cost as well, on this new bike build, just to tell you about the plans that I've got. So I managed to get myself, there's a few things here. So the type of bike I'm building a hardtail. So I'm going back to a hardtail. It's for a few reasons. Partly because I want to go back to something a bit more simple. Partly because I do much more cross country riding nowadays than I do sort of free ride or downhill, that type of stuff. So a hardtail just makes a bit more sense from that point of view. But I still do enjoy some good downhill, some good jump tracks, that type of thing. So what I'm doing is I'm getting a hardtail, but titanium. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, something I've kind of dreamed about having as a titanium bike. You know, stuff that spaceships are made out of, not least that it's a cool material. So I'd had my eye on a few different types of bikes, one of which was the On One. So On One 456, which is their sort of flagship trail bike, and it's they do a titanium version as well. But the problem was they've been sold out for a while. They've got no plans to restock. And even though I kind of wanted to get a UK bike, I wanted to put together a British bike. So On One would have been British made. I just couldn't get a hold of one, basically. So I was thinking back to years back when I was reading about the Hummer, so a Cove Hummer, and they do a titanium as well. And it's long, I've seen quite a few reviews around the Cove Hummer that say it's one of the best titanium hardtails, one of the best hardtails out there, one of the best titanium ones too. So that's the one I'd kind of coveted years back. And I started looking around on eBay a bit more recently, and I actually managed to track one down for about £500. So I've got a Cove Hummer frame, titanium frame that I got for about that cost. And that's what I'm basing it on. Now, one of the reasons that I wanted titanium is because, as I mentioned, I still like the bit downhill, bit of free ride type of stuff. And I know that titanium is claimed to sort of add in an element of suspension. Obviously, it's not as much as a full sus, but there's something there. So you've got a little bit of dampening there. The titanium's just got a bit more give than a standard aluminium or steel frame. So that was part of it. And also the fact that obviously it's light as hell. So I'll be able to cart it around a cross country track, no worries. Can go on some epic rides. And also I'm doing a lot more racing these days as well. So I mean, a titanium hardtail is going to be ideally built for some racing, especially for the longer endurance races that I'm looking at, like the 10 under the bend, the 24 hours, that type of stuff. So that's the kind of reasons behind the type of bike that I'm building. Now the plan is, purely on a cost basis initially, I'm going to be building this Hummer out of stuff that I have around the house right now. So I've got a lot of parts around the house. I've got spare wheels, I've got chain sets, I've got pedals, I've got handlebars, I've got all that kind of stuff lying about. I can basically build the Hummer out of just stuff that I have from previous bikes, just in boxes in the garage. Recently I went and bought a set of shifters and a stem, which were the two things I was missing. So basically, now that I've got my shifters and my stem, that's me set up and I'm ready to start the build. So that's the plan, essentially. It's to start out with all of those recycled bits and have just my great frame starting going. And then over time, I'm going to start to upgrade it. So over the next year or so, I'm just going to upgrade bit by bit as funds allow. And what I want to do is to try and put a bit of a theme into it as well. So the frame's silver, just titanium coloured, I guess. So it's quite cool. I really like the styling of it. But I want to pick a colour. So whether that's red or whether it's blue or green or whatever, I want to put that into the bike. So I want to start buying components that are of those colours. So, you know, you get a stem, which is maybe a red stem, maybe some handlebars with a bit of red styling on them. You get little things like the, you know, like your, well, rims, for example, or even just the cap on your inner tube, or even just the part, the down, what am I talking about? The seat post caliper. So the little caliper that holds your seat post up, you get them in different colours as well. So what I want to do over time is just buy really top quality components in particular themes and upgrade the bike as I go. So over the next year, I'll be spending a fair bit of money on new components, really top quality, top of the line stuff, so that within maybe a couple of years, I'm going to have this bike, which is just absolute top spec, worth a lot of money, which I can really just love riding. And it'll just be a project over time as well. So it's a project right now to build it up initially, but it'll be a project over time to turn it into this dream bike of mine that I've wanted for years and years. And I'm hoping to be able to write some articles about that, put in some tutorials about how to build bikes, as well as just talk about it on the podcast. So hopefully it'll give a good bit of content as well. So I think that basically covers my bike building plans. I hope that was interesting. Might not have been. It might have been just me waffling to myself about something that I'm wanting to do just now. But I'd love to hear your questions on bike building. If you want to know how to do a particular part of a bike build, if you have some questions about what to think about when you're buying the components, when you're buying the frame, that type of stuff, or even just upgrading. I'll do that episode on upgrading sometime in the future. So send in your questions about what upgrades you think would be good, what you think, you know, what you'd like to upgrade, the types of things that you'd like some video tutorials around. I'd quite like to do some more videos on this type of stuff just to show you how to do things. If nothing else, it gets me a bit more practiced in it, so it can makes me look into it and do it properly as opposed to just my hodgepodge method, which sometimes comes about. So please do send in some questions and comments. You can email me at colin@mountainbikespart.com, or you can fire up a comment on the post. In fact, I'd prefer it if you did that. So it'd be great if you really want to email me, do that by all means. But it'd be better if you do put a comment on the post of this episode, because that means we can kind of start a conversation. Everyone else can see what you're asking as well. And it gives me a log of the things that people are asking, so that I know where to look, and other people can answer your question too, because there's plenty of listeners out there that know as much, if not more than me, about bike building, upgrading, that type of stuff. So, you know, why not use the knowledge that's in the community? Just to tie up the show, again, I would like to just say, please do give me the feedback. So, question: what do you want to know more about upgrading? What do you want to know about building? Also, reviews. please, please, please do go onto iTunes. This is if you use iTunes, of course. Go onto iTunes and give me a review on there. It'd be brilliant if you could put on a wee 5-star review and put some comments in there as well about what you like about the show. If you use anything else, like Stitcher or Android, you can put reviews elsewhere. You can either review me on the website or pop into one of those applications and you can generally put a review in there. Or even if you just want to share it around, stick it on Twitter, stick it on Facebook, whatever. I really do appreciate all of you guys out there helping me to get this show out to more people. Just basically get more people into mountain biking. That's the main plan. So pretty much that'll do it for just now. I hope that you're getting some good biking in over the next couple of weeks. And I look forward to hearing about from you all and finding out about your bike building projects. So talk to you next time.